the sanctions regime has become a global regime, really focused on al-Qaeda wherever it is. They've really changed mainly, I think, in from being a typical Security Council regime where the Security Council tells a whole load of other member states what to do about a problem, to being a sort of exchange of ideas, of assessments of the threat, of ways in which the Security Council sanctions regime can have more impact on the threat as it affects particular member states.
I think you said that number 1267 was the first resolution concerning al-Qaeda, but there have been several others. Why have so many been adopted on the same subject?
Well, the threat has changed. That's the main thing. You know, how it was in 1999, of course, very different from how it is today in 2012. And now we see al-Qaeda itself obviously suffered enormously from the amount of international effort there's been to try and weaken the threat and prevent it from being the sort of challenge to international peace and security that it was. Now we have all these other affiliated groups, which may be in Yemen, maybe in the Maghreb, you know, maybe in Iraq and so on, but much less focus on the core leadership, which is still in the Afghan-Pakistan border area.
And you said that implementation of the resolution depends on the cooperation of member states. Could you explain what that means?
Well, certainly. I mean, the resolution asks for a travel ban, an assets freeze, an arms embargo on the people on a particular list. But, of course, it's not up to the Security Council members alone to implement the sanctions. It relies very much on the member states, and particularly those member states which are most concerned with the threat, to implement the sanctions in an effective manner. And it's often very difficult to do that. I mean, some of the people on our list, their whereabouts are unknown, and they make every effort to ensure that their whereabouts remain unknown. You know, and as for their finances and so on, of course, they also hide those. So without actually getting member states to cooperate, to think, okay, how can we make this work? Where can we find the information? Who do we need to go to for assistance? What sort of capacity do we have? You know, do we need a different legal framework? And all these things have been new, as it were, aspects of the sanctions regime which have arisen over the years, and the resolutions have tried to address those issues to help member states to implement more easily and so on.
Is this resolution working?
I think that
has it had the effect states were looking for?
I think we can safely say that al-Qaeda is very much weaker today than it was 10 years ago.
Because of the resolution?
Well, that's the $64 question, if you like. I mean, I think certainly the resolutions have helped, and they've helped in various ways. I mean, sanctions regimes, of course, have a practical impact of trying to force people to change their behavior. I doubt it's really changed the behavior of very many senior al-Qaeda leaders. But it also has the objective of trying to restrict their activities. And certainly in terms of financing and so on, and ability to move around, ability to communicate with supporters, I'm quite sure that helped by the sanctions regime, the international community is very much more alert to the threat and doing something about it. And I think particularly where financing is concerned, it's had a very real impact in that financiers or potential financiers of terrorism have seen what can happen to people who have financed terrorism.
What can happen to them?
Well, I mean, if you're a financier and you're put on a sanctions list, you have a public profile. You have businesses, you have bank accounts, you live somewhere. You're a public figure to a certain extent. And so if you are no longer able to deploy any assets, your business comes to a complete halt. And apart from that, your reputation is absolutely shot too. So nobody wants to deal with you, nobody wants to trade with you or whatever. So the consequences can be pretty serious.
Mm. Is there anything you'd like to add before we close?
Well, I just think that, you know, it's important to remember that Security Council action against terrorism is only one aspect of what the United Nations is doing. But also the UN system does a lot against terrorism, you know, from the point of view of giving out messages which are countering the terrorist appeal. And I think, you know, the very fact of the UN involvement helps to show the complete lack of legitimacy for terrorism. Terrorists tend to kill people in their own community rather than anywhere else. And of course, you know, to emphasize that terrorism is really irrelevant to the main political streams of today. For example, we were talking about al-Qaeda. If you look at the Arab Spring, for example, there's been no al-Qaeda flags fluttering over Tahrir Square or anything, you know. So I think that the UN has a big impact on counterterrorism across a whole range of activity.